ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 4, Chapter entitled The Incarnations of Godhead, Text 11. Kshutritrikalagunamarutajaivashaishnam Asman apara jaladin atitirya kechit Krodasya yanti vifalasya vashampadergo Majjanti duscharatapascha vrithos srijanti Kshutrit trikala gunamaruta jaiva shaishnan Asman apara jaladin atitirya kechi Krodasya yanti vifalasya vashampadergo Majjanti duscharatapascha vrithosrujanti Kshutritrikalagunamarutajaivashaishnan Asman apara jaladin atitirya kechi Krodasya yanti vifalasya vashampadergo Majjanti duscharatapascha vrithosrujanti Krodasya yanti vifalasya vashampadergo Majjanti duscharatapascha vrithosrujanti Kshutritrikalagunamarutajaivashaishnan Asmanapara jaladinatitirya kechit Matajis. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Some men practice severe penances to cross beyond our influence, which is like an immeasurable ocean with endless waves of hunger, thirst, heat, cold, and the other conditions brought about by the passing of time, such as the sensuous wind and the urges of the tongue and sex organs. Nevertheless, although crossing this ocean of sense gratification through severe penances, such persons foolishly drown in a cow's hoof print when conquered by useless anger. Thus, they exhaust the benefit of their difficult austerities in vain. Purport. Those who do not accept the devotional service of the Supreme Lord can be considered in two categories. Those engaged in sense gratification are easily conquered by the demigods through various weapons such as hunger, thirst, sexual desire, lamentation for the past, and vain hoping for the future. Such materialistic fools, infatuated with the material world, are easily controlled by the demigods, who are the ultimate supplying agents of sense gratification. But according to Sridhar Swami, persons who attempt to subdue the desires of the material senses and thus avoid the control of the demigods without surrendering to the Supreme Lord are even more foolish than the sense gratifiers. Although crossing the ocean of sense gratification, those who perform severe penances without service to the Lord eventually drown in tiny puddles of anger. One who simply performs material penances does not actually purify his heart. By one's material determination, one may restrict the activities of the senses, although one's heart is still filled with material desires. The practical result of this is krodha or anger. We have seen artificial performance of penance who have become very bitter and angry through denial of senses. Being indifferent to the Supreme Lord, such persons do not achieve ultimate liberation, nor can they enjoy material sense gratification. Rather, they become angry and through cursing others or enjoying false pride, they uselessly exhaust the results of their painful austerities. It is understood that when a yogi curses, he diminishes the mystic power he has accumulated. Thus, anger gives neither liberation nor material sense gratification, but merely burns up all the results of material penances and austerities. Being useless, such anger is compared to a useless puddle found in a cow's hoof print. Thus, after crossing over the ocean of sense gratification, the great yogis who are indifferent to the Supreme Lord drown in the puddles of anger. Although the demigods admit that the devotees of the Lord actually conquer the miseries of material life, it is understood here that a similar result is not to be obtained by so-called yogis who are not interested in devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurahangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Mukham Karoti Vachalam, Pangum Langayate Girim, Yat Kripatamaham Vande, Shri Gurum Dinatarinam, Shri Chaitanyamishwaram, Paramananda Madhavam. Hare Krishna. Translation once again. Some men practice severe penances to cross beyond our influence, which is like an innumerable ocean with endless waves of hunger, thirst, heat, cold and other conditions brought about by the passing of time, such as a sensuous wind and the urges of the tongue and sense organs. Nevertheless, although crossing this ocean of sense gratification through severe penances, such persons foolishly drown in the cow's hoofprint when conquered by useless anger. Thus they exhaust the benefit of their difficult austerities in vain. Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings of all the devotees so that I can speak something for my purification. So this chapter is entitled The Incarnations of God, where right at the beginning King Nimi is asking Navayogendras to describe various different incarnations of Godhead. And in response to this question asked, Drumila, one of the nine Yogendras, is very honestly confessing his limitation. He begins by saying, Yova anantasya gunan anantan anukramishyati satu bala buddhi rajamsi guner bhumayet kathanchit kalena naiva khila shakti dhamna. Means, Drumil is saying that it is way beyond my limits to explain the wonderful attractive qualities of the Lord. Even if someone tries to count the sand particles on this earth planet, even that personality cannot actually count the innumerable qualities. And someone who actually claims that he has understood God, that person has a mentality of a small child, satu bala buddhi. So, right at the beginning, Drumil is admitting his limitation in explaining the wonderful qualities of the Lord. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked one question by his disciple, Swamiji, if scriptures say that we cannot understand God, if God himself says that he cannot be understood, then what is the point of reading scriptures? It's a sheer useless waste of time. Prabhupada gave a wonderful reply. Prabhupada said, we should read scriptures and try to understand scriptures so that one day we understand that we cannot understand Krishna. This is the whole purpose of reading, understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, that one day we come to this realization that we actually cannot understand Krishna. To understand something, we need intelligence. But to understand Krishna, who is far beyond one's intelligence reach, definitely it's not possible. So, Drumil, right at the beginning, is being very honest in accepting his limitation, which is so very important for all of us also, to be honest in our admission that although it's difficult for me to practice devotional service, but still I will continue trying. Similarly, Drumil continues his wonderful explanation, narration of describing the various incarnations of Lord. It is better to be honest than to be a hypocrite in submitting that I don't understand God. For an example, a patient who goes to a doctor, and if a doctor is not able to understand the criticality or the problem that a patient is undergoing, then an honest doctor would refer that patient to some other doctor who is quite specialist in that field. But if that doctor thinks that it's a question of my prestige, and anyways no patients come to me after all, no, he's the one who has come, let me take a due advantage, let me take a profit out of it, no, and let me try to take a chance, speculate something, and prescribe him some medicine. It would be a great injustice, no, done to the patient and on the part of the doctor to speculate if he doesn't know or if it's beyond his purview of understanding what the problem is. Because it will not do any good to the patient. On the contrary, it may even complicate the problem that the patient is undergoing. So being honest is very important in every field. What to speak of being honest when someone is speaking or someone gets the authority to speak on such subject matters. I always like to, you know, speak this story. Whenever I start speaking, I speak this small. One time Mr. N. Modi and Mr. R. Gandhi were on the flight, and it so happened that the captain suddenly announced that the engine has failed and, you know, we have to go for an emergency landing. They pressed the eject button and with parachute they somehow landed. But when they landed, they realized that they have landed in a desert. Now there was no one around, in and around the desert, so they were thinking, now what to do, where do we go, where have we reached? So they started walking, both started walking for hours. They could not find anyone. Suddenly Mr. R. Gandhi spoke, I am so tired, I cannot walk further, and I am so hungry. Now, Mr. Modi said, have patience. Lord has some plans for us. They went ahead and they found a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful mosque in the middle of a desert. So they thought maybe this is like a Middle East country, somewhere we have landed. And now Mr. R. Gandhi thought that if we approach this mosque, they may not even give us anything to eat. So this R. Gandhi is telling to Mr. N. Modi that let's devise a plan. If someone asks you, what's your name? You tell that your name is Javed and my name is Akhtar. Mr. N. Modi said, no. Whatever may happen, I'm going to tell what my name is. They went ahead. They entered the mosque. The Maulvi welcomed, greeted them and asked, what's your name? Mr. Gandhi said, my name is Akhtar. And Maulvi asked, what's your name, gentlemen? He said, my name is Mr. N. Modi. So then Maulvi called his disciple and said that these two great personalities have come for the first time. Let Mr. Modi get a big dawat. And by the way, Mr. Akhtar, you are anyways, you know, following our, you know, path. So today is anyways Roza. So you will be fasting. So there is no question of you eating. So a simple lesson that we can derive is, be honest what you are. There is no wrong in admitting what you are. So it is better to be honest than to be hypocrite. And here we see these personalities, Navayogendras, they were expert in specially four things. These Navayogendras, the first thing is they were so well versed in knowledge of Atma and Paramatma. Second is, they were very much fixed in their goal. They were very much aware. They were so clear. There was so much clarity about their ultimate destination. And they were always striving for perfection. And above all, Bhagavatam explains that all these Navyogendras were direct associates of the Supreme Lord Madhusudana. Now, if these personalities were direct associate of the Supreme Lord, if they are admitting that they cannot understand, although they are or they have got an authority to speak on this subject matter, but they are humble and honest enough to accept their limitation and admit they don't mind expressing and admitting this fact that God is so great beyond our reach. Because most of the time, many a times it so happens that in course of claiming that I have understood God thoroughly, we end up misunderstanding God more than understanding. And that's a greater disservice to oneself, to God and to society at large. One time His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining that for a human brain to conceive of a universe is like a small, tiny, insignificant ant trying to fathom this earth planet. What is the possibility that this small ant can travel all across the earth planet? Even if the ant decides right from his or her childhood that I want to go on a pilgrimage all throughout the land of, all throughout this earth planet. And this ant continues to travel till the end of its life. What is the possibility that this ant will traverse all across the length and width of this earth planet? Maybe the ant may not even be able to cover the length and width of the city of Mumbai. So Maharaj was explaining that, and what, after all, even if an ant tries to cover earth planet to its maximum, and that ant reaches the shore of Pacific Ocean or an Atlantic Ocean, it cannot move further because it's beyond that ant's comprehension to enter in that area. Similarly, human brains, Maharaj is explaining, human brains are so tiny and our experiences are so limited that our small brain, which weighs few pounds, can hardly understand what the creation of the Lord is. What to speak of the Creator Himself? We can only know the Creator when God or the Creator reveals Himself to us. Atha Shri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grahyam indriya sevon mukhe jivado swayam eva smriti adha. It is only when the Lord reveals Himself to us can we actually understand God in total. And even in the 10th canto we see Brahmaji, after that heavy setback of trying to understand Krishna, he ended up misunderstanding Krishna. But he admits honestly this fact that Janantu eva jananta tvai kim bahuktya name prabho manaso vapusho vacho vaibhavam tava gochara. He's saying that there are many in this world who claim that I have understood Krishna thoroughly, but as far as I am concerned, I can say for sure, my dear Lord, your opulences are beyond my approach, beyond my reach, especially of the mind, my words and my body. Manaso vapusho vacho vaibhavam tava gochara. Just as if we do not have a fingerprint access to something that's locked, or just as if we do not have a login access, a password to log in into a certain file or a folder, no matter how much we try to keep pressing with our fingers, no matter how much we try speculating, entering different codes, different passwords, still, unless and until that access is provided to us, it is way beyond a person's capacity to either access, enter that certain gate, or access, log in into a certain file or a folder. And here in this chapter, we see Indra is committing that same mistake. He is misunderstanding the position and the glories of the Supreme Lord. The word used in the previous verse is Tat Mahigna. That means he did not really understand the glories and the greatness of the Lord. He is mistaking Narnarayan Rishi to be one amongst 8.4 million species. And just as in the 8.4 million species, the external covering changes, the body differs, but more or less the internal system functioning is more or less same. Everyone goes through the birth, old age, disease and death, and eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and so on and so forth. And Indra is thinking that here this saint, this Rishi is one amongst those 8.4 million species. So he is projecting his own consciousness on Narnarayan Rishi. And Indra is a classic example of Atmavan Manyate Jagat. We wear a certain colored glass and the whole world, everything around us appears to be of that color. So based on our consciousness tinged with a certain mode of, certain mode, could be goodness, passion, ignorance, we perceive things accordingly. Eka eka padarthastu tridabhavati vikshataha kunapaha kamini mamsa yogibhi kamini swabhi. Three personalities are perceiving one object in three different ways. For a person like yogi in a mode of goodness, he perceives an opposite gender as just a bag of bones or muscles. Person in a mode of passion who wants to enjoy perceives that same object as an object of enjoyment. And a person in a mode of goodness like a dog, dog thinks that object to be his food. So based on one's level of consciousness, one will able to perceive or try to understand or jump to certain conclusion. When Lord Krishna, that's why Krishna consciousness is all about seeing the world as Krishna sees. Only when we try to understand things how Krishna is trying to explain us in Bhagavad Gita, then can we actually understand the world in its true sense. Otherwise, everyone being tinged, everyone's consciousness being tinged by different modes are going to perceive a same object, same things relatively. Lord Krishna, after killing Narakasur, went to the heavenly abodes to return the earrings of Mother Aditi, who is mother of Indra. Krishna offers that earring to Aditi. And on the way back, along with him was Satyabhama. Satyabhama desires to have a Parijat flower. And Krishna takes a Parijat tree along, and it's Indra cannot tolerate that. And Indra attacks Lord Krishna. And Krishna defeats him, of course. And Indra here thinks that Krishna is a hand-packed husband to his wife Satyabhama. But the fact of the matter is that Indra was attached to his position, attached to his wife Sachi. And based on his consciousness, what he's attached to, he is thinking Supreme Lord also to be a handpacked husband. While the fact of the matter is, Krishna was trying to reciprocate with the desire of his loving devotees. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see Prithu Maharaj performing Ashwamedh Yajnas not to dethrone Indra, not to take the position of Indra, but for the welfare of his citizens. The intention was completely different than what Indra perceived, wrongly perceived. But Indra found, and then a whole event flows, and finally we understand that how Prithu Maharaj surrenders to the will of Lord Brahma. But Indra is projecting his consciousness, and same episode happens here in this chapter, where Indra is considering tapasya of Nar Narayan Rishi as a threat, and he becomes envious, and he sends apsaras, or he sends cupids, to make him fall down. But Narad Muni explains what is the actual position of Nar Narayan Rishi in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Narad Muni explains, Kartasya sarga dishuno dishuyo na badhyate nahanyate dehagatopyadehike drashtur nadrug yasya gune vidushyate tasmai namo asakta vivikta sakshine. Narad Muni is glorifying Nar Narayan Rishi's qualities, and he's saying that this personality, Supreme Lord, he is the master of the three worlds. He is the master of creation, maintenance and annihilation. And although he is the master of these three, he is still completely free from false prestige. Drashtur nadrik yasya guneshu vidushyate. Although he is the seer and the witness of everything that's around him, he is still completely unaffected. So although Nar Narayan Rishi is seeing the object of senses, he is completely unaffected by those object of senses. And let me offer, Narad Muni is saying, let me offer my humble obeisances, respectful obeisances unto that Tasmai Namo Asakta Vivikta Sakshine, one who is completely detached. One who is above the three modes of material nature. In fact, one beautiful verse that comes in the fifth canto, which glorifies the qualities of Nar Narayan Rishi. This verse says that even Lord Shiva controlled the effect of Cupid. When Cupid approached Lord Shiva with his arrows, Lord Shiva burned Cupid to ashes. But Shiva, although he could control lust, he could not control his wrath. He could not control his own anger. On the contrary, here when Cupid is trying to shoot arrows, Nar Narayan Rishi is not at all getting agitated, nor he is getting angry. On the contrary, Nar Narayan Rishi rewards this personality. Kamam dahanti krutino nanu rosha drushtya rosham dahantam utate na dahantya sayam soyam yadantaramalam pravishan vibheti kama katham na punarasya manashvayeta. So this verse explains that even anger could not enter the heart. What is the question? Where is the question of lust taking shelter in the Lord? There is absolutely no question of Lord getting affected by lust. Even Bhrigu Muni, when he suddenly, all of a sudden, entered Vaikuntha Loka and hit Lord hard on his chest, Lord was not at all affected. On the contrary, Lord got up and he caught caught hold, Lord touches the feet of Bhrigumuni, begging for forgiveness, saying that my feet are so hard and your heart is so soft, maybe your heart must have got hurt by my feet. So Lord is neither getting affected by anger nor is getting affected by envy or lust. And above all, if someone comes to harm us, and we come to know that that person has come to make us fall down, or has come to really, you know, put us down, the only thing that will come in our mind is, you know, we will develop a quality of hatred or enmity towards that person. And we will definitely get angry also. Here, in many instances, we see that although Lord was provoked, He did not get angry. On the contrary, He is so magnanimous, He's so benevolent, that He is rewarding that person who has come with the intention to harm him. And a beautiful classic example is Putna, where Lord rewards her as the position, you know, as a position of mother in the spiritual world. Shishupal, who wanted to defame Lord all the time, that was his one pointed goal all throughout his life. Lord offered him Sayujya Mukti. Here we see Indra was rewarded by an apsara called Urvashi. Or when Lord went to deliver or give that earring to Indra's mother, and Indra fought back, Lord could have said, I came all the way from earthly plan to give you that earring, and you are here not even able to give me one small tree. Let me take back earring along with me. I will offer it to Satyabhama. He didn't say that. He still, you know, very calmly offered that earring to, you know, Aditi. Tathaiva chanya naraloka veera ya ahave krishna padaravinda netre pibanti nayana birama parthasya puta padamapurasya. Even those who were aiming against Lord Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, just by witnessing the beautiful form of the Lord, every, Bhagavatam explains, every soldier attained the kingdom of God. That was the reward that Lord had to offer to each and everyone who came to, you know, harm him, who misunderstood Lord's position. And Prabhupada, in that purport to this verse, Netre Pibandi Nayana Bhirama, Prabhupada says that Supreme Personality of Godhead appears for two main missions. The first mission is to annihilate the miscreant, and the second mission is to deliver the faithful. But since the Lord is absolute, His two different kinds of action, although apparently different, are ultimately one and the same. His annihilation of a person like Shishupal is as auspicious as His actions for the protection of the faithful. So this is the benevolent nature of the Lord. And here we see, although Lord's benevolence is so distinctly visible, Indra misunderstood the mood and mission of the Lord. That's why, if we actually analyze, the person who is misunderstood the most is God Himself. We think that we are being misunderstood. We think that people do injustice to me. So much injustice is done to me. We complain. But here is a personality whom we are worshipping right from beginning till the end. So many occasions he's being misunderstood and mistreated. And a lot of injustice also done to him. So that's why Lord says, Avajananti mam mudha manushin tanum ashritam. Param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Either a person of this world will bring God to his level, or will take him to God's level. A person like Duryodhan thinks Lord Krishna can be easily captured, so he tells his soldiers to capture Krishna. He brings Krishna to his level. And a person like Pondrak, who thinks that he is at the level of God. So he thinks, start understanding himself as God. Someone starts planning to kill God, even before Lord is born. Someone says, Vachalam Balisham Stabdam. What is that? Agyam Pandita Manina. Indra in Govardhan Leela is considering Lord Krishna as a talkative boy. As a small child who doesn't know anything. Vachalam, only keep speaking. Balisham, Stabdam. So, the point that I'm trying to draw is, if we think that we can understand God, it would be the biggest mistake that we will make, that we will land up misunderstanding God. And Krishna's pastimes are so many times misunderstood. The personality Krishna is misunderstood. Krishna's pastimes are misunderstood. And the most sacred of all the pastimes, Ras Leela, is so very much misunderstood many a times. One verse in Srimad Bhagavatam refutes all the reasons why Krishna, people ask this question, why Krishna had a Ras Leela with other man's wife. This one verse from Bhagavatam, that too from the first canto, this beautiful verse. And who is speaking this verse? The crash jewel of all the renunciates, Shukdev Goswami. He is glorifying Lord's this quality of being detached. Uddama bhava pishunamala valguhasa vridavaloka nihato madano piyasam sammuhya chapam ajahat pramadottamasta yasyendriyam vimatitum kuhakker nasheku. The queens of Lord Krishna, the wives of Lord Krishna, had such an enchanting beauty that beauty could even enchant Cupid himself. Even Cupid would give up his bow and arrow. And what to speak of Cupid, even Lord Shiva would fall victim to that beauty. But Bhagavatam explains, although Lord was surrounded by such beauty, such loving glances and smile, not for a single moment could such glance agitate the Lord. So where is the question of Lord, who was just a small boy when he performed Ras Leela pastime, that he was affected by lust? Krishna's Bhagavad Gita is that instruction, that sacred instruction, is so much very misunderstood. Many people considers Bhagavad Gita as a book of an extremist or an extremist book. Although it is revered by millions all over the world, but still many consider Bhagavad Gita as an extremist book. There are three main areas in Bhagavad Gita which are prominently misunderstood by people. The first is setting. Battlefield as a setting is misunderstood by many people. They think that this setting of this battlefield setting is a call for violence, and Bhagavad Gita advocates violence. But the fact that Krishna arranged to speak Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield just to show to the world that even in the toughest of the settings, toughest of the situation, a personality who broke down could get empowered, could get rejuvenated, and was willing to fight back the situation, proves that if such toughest situation a person can handle because of message of Bhagavad Gita helping him out, in any other situation person can actually manage to come out of that tough trials. Bhagavad Gita, one more reason that people think that Bhagavad Gita advocates battle violence, but a wonderful refutation that comes is actually the battlefield setting is just to advocate the pragmatic assertiveness action of protecting the basic human rights. Means Krishna doesn't want someone to just be a spectator, mere spectator, and just see the injustice that's done to others. Krishna is telling that everyone has to fight for the rights if it's on the path of dharma. And Krishna himself tried his best to stop violence by becoming a peace messenger. He took exhaustive measures to stop this battlefield, stop this war happening, but he couldn't himself stop. And what to speak of that, the very fact that many of the lovers of non-violence like Mahatma Gandhi and such personalities take a lot of inspiration from the message of Bhagavad Gita clearly states that the core message of Bhagavad Gita is not violence, but the core message of Bhagavad Gita is love and peace. The second reason why Bhagavad Gita is being misunderstood and is called an extremist, the book of extremist, is when some blunt value judgments are, some words that are used so heavily in Bhagavad Gita, people think they are too heavy for us to take it, where Krishna is using the words mudha or naradhama. But the clear understanding is that Krishna is like that doctor who is so eager and so desperate to pass on the treatment to the patient who is so stubborn and unwilling to take the treatment. So doctor has to sometimes be very heavy. It's nothing but it's an exasperated outburst of doctor's calling, where he's feeling pity on that patient and he really wants to help that patient come out of his diseased condition. So it's not an expression of condemnation, but it's an expression of Lord's compassion. Why he's using what he's using these words in Bhagavad Gita. So it's very important for all of us to defend Gita, so that otherwise people are out there to ban the sacred scriptures in the world. They want to ban the scriptures, this scripture. And above that, most important is that we understand Bhagavad Gita so that we don't ban Bhagavad Gita out of our life thinking it irrelevant. So it is very important for us to defend the message of Bhagavad Gita. Many a times people think that the personality who was misunderstood the most in Mahabharata was Karna. So many people, they empathize with whatever happened with Karna. Now, I don't know what this was posted on the group. I don't know how much bona fide it is, but this discussion made a lot of sense. People think that Karna was misunderstood the most. Karna approached Krishna and Karna is asking, Krishna, why is it that when I was born, my mother left me all alone and I was called an illegitimate child? What was my blame? What was my fault? When I wanted an education, I was denied the education from Dronacharya because I was being called non-Kshatriya. What was my fault? Parshuram gave me this knowledge of Dhanurvidya, this knowledge, but he cursed me that I would forget all this knowledge when I need the most. What wrong did I do? I was humiliated the most in Draupadi Swayamvar. Not only that, my mother Kunti Devi told me that I am her son only to protect her 5 sons. And in the time of difficulty, when I needed the most, it was Duryodhan who helped me. So why do people really, go against me by saying that I took a wrong side? What was my fault? It appears very valid. And Krishna replied, Karna, I was born in jail. Don't you know this? Death was waiting for me before even I was born. People were there right out to kill me. Without even me understanding why they are hell-bent on killing me. From childhood, you grew up hearing the voice of arrows and horses and warfield. But I was born, I grew up in the middle of cows, in a cow shed. There was no Dhanurvidya that was offered to me. There was no army around me. There was no education that was offered to me till the time I was 16. I could attain my education only when I was 16 and when I went to Sandipani Muni's ashram. You married the girl of your choice. I couldn't even marry the girl I loved. Not only that, I married to the girls who wanted me and who were actually rejected by the society. Karna, tell me one thing, if tomorrow, or before that he says, I did my best to stop this Kurukshetra war, still people will misunderstand me for eternity for being the cause of this entire war. Wherever I grew up, I kept hearing only one thing, that I was the cause of all the problem that's happening around. Not only that, tell me, O Karna, if tomorrow Duryodhan wins this battle of Kurukshetra, you will get all the credit for being on the side of Duryodhan. But what if Yudhishthir wins this battle, what credit will I get? The world will still blame me for the cause. So, Karna, do not blame situation or circumstances. Take up the responsibility. And just because injustice was done to you, injustice was equally done to Pandavas as well. And Krishna is telling that life is not fair on anyone's part. Life will eventually turn out to be unfair. How do we react to those situations is more important than just cribbing and complaining. And just because injustice was done to you doesn't give you the license to fight on the side of adharma. So this is a dialogue. I don't know how much author bona fide it is, but it makes a lot of sense. People empathize with Arjuna, with Karna, but fail to really understand how much, if Krishna as a human being, how much he also underwent.
Krishna is actually misunderstood by many. So we should not be surprised if tomorrow we are misunderstood. Hari Vilas Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's senior disciple, was one time in Paris. Prabhupada had come to Paris and Prabhupada attended a press conference, and after the press conference got over, Hari Vilas Prabhu booked a cab for Prabhupada to go back to his place where he was staying. And Hari Vilas Prabhu was sitting next to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was sitting in the center, and one more devotee called Arvind Prabhu was sitting next to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was sitting in the center and Hari Vilas Prabhu on left and one devotee on the right. And they came across a street, one of the famous street on the crossroad called Concord in Paris. And it so happened that there was a traffic jam in the middle of the street and there was a lot of noise. So Hari Vilas Prabhu thought, let me ask a question to Prabhupada. So he asked a question to Prabhupada, saying, Prabhupada, can you tell me the meaning of this verse? Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutanam. The famous verse from second chapter. Now because it was so much noisy around, Prabhupada couldn't hear this full statement that what's night for all the being is the time for awakening of the self-control and the opposite, vice versa. So then Prabhupada only heard the word time of awakening. So Prabhupada smiled and said, oh, time of awakening. All the devotees, they get up early in the morning at 4 o'clock and take bath and go for Mangala Arati. So then Arvind, the Prabhu, he smiled and said, Prabhupada, no. He is asking the meaning to this verse, Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutanam. So then Prabhupada said, the meaning of this verse, Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutanam, is that when karmis, they look at us, they laugh at us. And when we look at karmis, we laugh at them. But our laugh is better, because we know very well that whatever they are doing is nothing but a waste of time. On the contrary, Prabhupada is saying, when karmis see devotees, they will surely misunderstand devotees, thinking that they are wasting time in chanting Hare Krishna. But we know for sure what is right and what is sure. So our laugh is best. So yes, Krishna is misunderstood. Krishna's pastimes are misunderstood. Not only that, Krishna's devotees are misunderstood. Of course, time is up. I just thought that if time permits, I would have discussed two major characters from two major epic who were misunderstood. One from Mahabharata, one from Ramayana. Bhishma Dev, who was misunderstood for the ages to come, by the people, why he fought on the side of Adharma. And the second wonderful character from Ramayana who was misunderstood the most was Bharat. Even his mother, not only his own mother, Kaikai, misunderstood the mood of Bharat. Even Kaushalya misunderstood Bharat out of love for Lord Ram, of course. And then he was misunderstood by Nishadraj Guha. He was misunderstood by his own guru Vasishtha. He was misunderstood by Bharadwaj Rishi. The only one person who understood very well whether it was Bhishma or Bharat's feelings or intention for Lord Ram and Lord Krishna. So with this hope that even though the world may misunderstand our actions, our mood sometime, but it's the Lord who will never misunderstand us. This is a beautiful prayer that Mother Teresa, it's a very famous prayer that Mother Teresa has come up with, that you may be kind to someone, but someone may still think, you having an ulterior motive. Be kind anyways. Someone may misunderstand our actions or our intentions. But still be having good intentions and actions anyways. And she says, that the good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyways. Give the best you have and still it will never be enough. Give your best anyways. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyways. So with this hope that we want to have the best of the intention and best of the action, and even though in the course of having the best of the intentions, if we are misunderstood, still Lord will never misunderstand us. I'm sorry for going overboard. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
No misunderstanding. Full understanding. Kai pustav.